Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of the Asterix Art Podcast.
I'm the captain.
Yeah, I'm excited. Getting back on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your trusty captain, Ethaniel. And over there on the other side of the internet is my co-captain on the poop deck.
Yep.
It's Cougie.
Poop deck. Hey.
How are you doing there on that poop deck?
I'm doing quite sloppily. Sloppily. Slovenly. I don't know what I'm saying.
Slovenly?
Like
a Slav?
Slovenia. Yeah.
You know, speaking of sloppy, we should address the elephant in the room. Today is November 21st, 2017, as we record this. And as of today, John Lasseter, Chief Creative Officer of Walt Disney and Pixar Animation Studios, is taking a six-month leave of absence amid sexual harassment allegations. Cougie, your thoughts?
Well, I mean...
It's a real blow.
It's a blow. I mean, but he shouldn't be a bad dude. I don't know. I mean, there's no excuse for that sort of thing.
No excuse.
And, I mean, it's rushing the nation right now. Everybody's purging themselves of sexual misconduct, so let's get it all done. And if he has to fall for it, then you know what? Then so be it.
Yeah, I say let them all fall.
I just don't want to put, like, I think we should still look on Pixar in a positive light because, you know what, he might have directed it, but the people down there in the trenches are doing all, like, the actual rendering and all the hard work. I mean, they still worked very hard, and so don't let his terrible image muddy their hard work and the joy they bring so many people.
That's true. You know, the big argument every time one of these allegations comes out is the difficulty of separating the art from the artist here.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you're pointing out, he's more of a, you know, a figurehead, I guess, at this point. But I mean, mainly the face of the Pixar Animation Studios.
I think
not too many details out yet, but you know, they're bad. And it's, you know, he's taking a 6-month leave of absence. I mean, really, hopefully he, you know, leaves the company if this is all true, because
I feel like that might be where it's going. It seems preliminary, like they're just trying to, I feel like it might be Disney trying to soften the blow a little bit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and that's the crazy thing, because, you know, as every one of these famous people gets knocked off a pedestal there, you really, I was already kind of, you know, hardened to the place where you can't trust anyone at this point. You can't look up to anybody because they're all scumbags at this point. They're all fallible. They're people, and they're harboring this sick and disgusting system that's been in place for far too long, and gladly we're purging it all. But it's still a crazy blow, someone from Pixar to be another name on the docket here,
which is like the last place you would think of for this to happen.
Yeah, every time these come out, people are like, oh, please not Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, one of the squeaky clean guys.
Don't even jinx him, please.
he's been jinxed. If that comes, I mean, at this point, there's really, I wouldn't be shocked by anyone.
I wouldn't be,
which in itself is such a strange place to be, that you just kind of assume everyone's a monster at this point. But yeah, it's rough.
Also, I want to clarify my point. I'm not saying that you shouldn't stop. Like, I don't know. This is a little more nuanced than, like, let's say Bill Cosby, where, like, it was his show or his stand-up where it was like a lot of his handiwork, but I feel like the complexity of digital films is a little more nuanced than just like a project like that. Whereas I've still traveled, like Louis C.K. was one of my favorite comedians, and now I don't know what to think about it. I kind of hate him a little bit. Well, I hate him a lot, actually. Pretty completely.
And that's the crazy thing. It's like, especially with the comedians, it's really impossible to separate the art from the artist because the art is the artist. It's their life is mainly what they're discussing in their jokes, and that's what's being presented on stage is just them. This one, I mean, he's not the person in the films. So as a consumer, it's a little bit easier to continue to consume Pixar films, I think. Especially if he is eventually fired, which he should be.
And I feel like,
because I mean,
well, then he won't get any residuals because he'll be kicked out of Pixar. I feel like, so you can feel guilt-free once he leaves the company.
That's true. That, I mean, with all of these, I mean, until another one comes out in theaters, I haven't really been paying much money towards Pixar.
That's fair.
That's true. I mean, he is still getting a paycheck from them, and this whole leave of absence thing, I mean, it's obviously a paid leave of absence. But you just think, like, you know, if an employee had these same allegations, they'd just be fired on the spot.
Yeah.
So it really should have the same kind of repercussions here. I mean, even more so because he is a man in a place of power and authority, and that carries a little bit more weight when you're being sexually aggressive to people.
Yeah.
So the hammer should come down a little bit harder, I would say, and hopefully it does. But, man, that's a real blow.
Yeah, but it's still fresh. You're right. We'll see.
It's fresh. It just came out today. We'd already planned on recording this.
We'll follow up, I guess, once we hear more terrible, sad news.
Yeah, because the people are looking to us for the answers. They're lost in the woods.
Yeah. And I feel bad because probably a lot of the people that he assaulted, I guess. I guess assaulted is the right term. Probably still work at Pixar, which I can't imagine how crappy that is.
Yeah, but that's the thing. As of today, we don't really have too many details. The only named person was Rashida Jones, who is alleging that he made unwelcome advances to her, and that's why she stepped away from the Toy Story 4 project. Beyond that, we don't know too much at this point.
I didn't even know that. But
oh, breaking news!
Breaking news!
Right to you.
Also, don't fuck with Rashida Jones.
For real. And, I mean, I think that's probably what set this all off. Because that project, I think, is still in the works. So that must have been a recent allegations that come out. And so they're trying to get ahead of it, and now...
And Coco's about to come out, so we'll see how that affects that.
Yeah. I wonder. But man, it's like... All the people that have been, you know, knocked down. Excuse me. On top of all this, I'm battling a cold. This is definitely the biggest shot to my own nostalgia and childhood memories here. And I'm sure you as well. That's why we're doing this whole damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, I guess.
We just got to do the damn thing.
Yeah, I guess we got to do it.
So yeah, we'll check back in, I guess. We'll see next time we record here. But for today, we have the honor of discussing Monsters University.
Yep.
2013 film that Pixar put out here.
12 years since the original.
A prequel to Monsters Inc. 12 years in the making here. So we're going to go through and knock it out in the usual way. try to keep it a little bit tighter than we usually do.
Yeah.
After listening to the last one, Wreck-It Ralph, I got a little down in the formatting. So we're going to try to keep it a little tighter, time-wise, but maybe a little looser content-wise.
Ooh.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
You know, it's just whenever Jared comes on, I'm going to blame him. He gets me real, real conscious of the formatting we have here. And
he's a talker for just, sure.
He's also just kind of conscious of the entire process of watching and discussing kids' movies for hours and hours of our lives. So I did a little, we both did a lot more retrospective here. Introspection? Is that a word?
I don't
introspection.
Know. Infraspection.
Intrafraction.
So this movie was directed by Dan Scanlon.
Yeah, it's a good old Scan Danlin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure his friends call him that.
Budget was $200 million and the box office $744 million.
Dude, that blew my mind. Especially because
what?
Well, coming off Wreck-It Ralph, which, as we discussed, made less than $500 million, which is obviously still a shit ton of money.
Yeah,
but I think we all agreed it was less than we expected that movie to make. This one comes out bang. That was $300 million more.
I bet. Well, it's a returning property. I guess maybe that helped.
It's a returning property, and as we discussed, Wreck-It Ralph, not a Pixar movie.
That's true.
In name. I really think that has a big part to play in it.
You throw that little lamp out there, and they're like, that's it. Got to do that one.
People come for the lamp. People put up their money for that goddamn lamp.
Come for the lamp, stay for the movie. Also, this one was it was started, well, in the before the movie starts, your favorite short, Blue Umbrella, was before it.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the whole shorts thing.
Yeah, Le Blue Umbrella.
Yeah,
or Parapluie, as they would say it. Well, probably not like that. That's how you say it in French.
Parapluie.
Yeah. Yeah, I want Le Parapluie.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know if it's that interesting.
Yeah, well, it's something. I mean, it happened.
But it is an occurrence.
So, had you seen this movie before? No, we usually...
I had not.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't think I've seen any of any movie, Pixar movie, from here on out that we will be discussing.
Yeah, but agreed.
Still going to ask that question.
Yeah, well, it's important. Well, what would you think going in? Did you have any impressions?
Yeah, like we've discussed here, I have still extremely low expectations for every other Pixar movie because at this point in time, 2013 on, it has no play on my own nostalgia. So it's pretty much starting as a negative.
That's true. That's a good point. No rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, exactly. And the reviews typically for the remaining movies are not good. So I had real low expectations coming in. How about you?
Yeah, me too. I thought it was going to be like a crappy little like... just like rip off of the other one. I thought it was gonna be like a car situation where they're just like, I don't know, let's make another one.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, because just like Cars, they kind of are flipping the protagonist sidekick situation.
It's true,
but unlike Cars, they didn't make the grave mistake of thinking people cared about fucking Mater.
Did you
this one?
Have you ever seen a video of Larry the Cable Guy without his accent? You know, it's like it's all like a bit. Like he doesn't actually have that.
No,
you should look it up. It's really jarring.
See, like I kind of, I kind of was aware that it's a bit, but I never really thought to hear him speak normally.
He's from like Palm Beach or something. He's like like not. Oh, man.
I was hoping he was like British or something.
Oh, that'd be awesome, and also really depressing.
Yeah, because this is American persona,
and like not a great one, but.
So this one, kind of like Cars 2, where, although it maybe not as extreme, in the original Monsters, Inc., Sully is maybe more of the protagonist, main driver of the movie, where Mike Wazowski is kind of the sidekick.
Yeah.
This one, Mike Wazowski is definitely the main focus, and Sully is more of the side piece.
Yeah. Well,
we got the whole crew back.
Oh yeah,
everyone's back. John Goodman, Sully, Billy Crystal, Steve Buscemi, and the addition of Helen Mirren.
Yeah,
as I guess the antagonist. Actually, like,
all-star voice cast. I was very happy.
Yeah,
there's three. Yeah, It's Always Sunny alums in here. There's Dave Foley, Charlie Day, and then
oh yeah,
there's one other guy, Joel Murray.
Bill's brother?
What?
It's Bill Murray's brother, right?
Oh, no. Is it Bill Murray's brother?
Yeah, isn't it?
That's going to blow my mind if that's true. Are you? Man. Oh, shit. Yeah, he is. I never knew that.
Younger brother.
He looks just like him. Yeah, he played Brian Lefebvre in It's Always Sunny. Or no, he played the guy who's trying to get... It was the Brian Lefebvre episode. Whatever. I know It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, he is the kind of old, middle-aged member of the Uzma Kappa fraternity.
Yeah. Well, the movie starts out with a field trip to the Monsters, Inc. place, which I thought was weird, because the other movie basically told everyone how much of it was like a garbage place to be, and it was like a terrible organization that was all a lie. I thought it was a weird choice.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole maybe issue with this movie that my wife definitely pointed out. Is like, I don't think really kids understand what a prequel is. Kids at this, like, the age that this is probably targeted to, not, you know, late 20s.
Yeah. That's a good point. I never thought about it in that way. Yeah. I wonder what kids think, like, why is this happening? Like, because their whole life before it is a lie, pretty much, because their whole goal is a lie.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. There's a lot of, like, inconsistencies here between what they established in Monsters, Inc. and here in Monsters, U. Like, for example, Billy Crystal has a line, Mike Wazowski has a line in Monsters, Inc. about John Goodman, Sully, being jealous of his looks since the fourth grade. But in this movie, they established that they didn't meet until college. So what the...
Yeah. And in no way was he jealous of him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Mike Wazowski, he's a cute little blob there. That's kind of the whole conceit of this movie.
He early on, this made me upset. One of the veteran scarers is John Krasinski.
And it made you upset?
It made me upset because he never comes back. He's in it for like, he does like, who's that guy, that football player in the Coke commercial, like threw his jersey at the kid?
I think it was Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, he pulls one of those with like a Monsters U hat.
Yeah, that is a good Mean Joe Green.
And then he like never comes. I thought he was gonna come back. I think John Krasinski should be in more like voice roles. I don't know why.
Really,
it just really his voice was very good. I don't know. It's weird that I'm
no. Yeah, no, I could agree with that.
Also,
I think he should do more voice work than face work.
Oof, really taking him to task.
Not that he's an ugly man, but just
you never like Jim.
I don't know. He's a goofy looking dude. He's got that one note He's got the Jim note.
Yeah, he'll never not be Jim to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he was in that like Benghazi movie, wasn't he? I don't know.
Yeah, he's not an action star. Sorry, Hollywood.
He is in a new movie which I really want to see called A Quiet Place. You should look at the trailer for that.
He doesn't talk the whole movie? I'd be down for that.
There's not like any talking, yeah. So probably.
He just gives Jim looks to the camera.
Yeah. I hope so. And his wife's in it, whatever her name is.
Olivia Wilde?
No, that's
Olivia Blunt. Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. Olivia Wilde is Jason Sudeikis' wife, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, her and Emily Blunt are like two actresses batting way below their average.
That is definitely true.
Can do way better.
No offense, guys.
No offense.
Let's see.
So yeah, we're getting in here. Let's keep it going. Try and keep that tight hour.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We started off beating young Mike Wazowski on the field trip to Monsters U. Oh, not Monsters U, fuck. I already messed it up.
Monsters Inc.
And they're kind of quickly establishing that Mike wants to be a scarer from a young age. But to counteract that, he's tiny and adorable, so everyone automatically agrees that he can't be a scarer. Although, if we're being honest, all those kids on the field trip are tiny and adorable monsters. So it's like, who's for them to say that like one of them can't be scary when they grow up?
Well, even that, like, we're not really taught the... I don't know, there's no metric for scariness. They just, like, keep feeding you that he's not scary the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, if you saw that thing in real life, you'd be scared.
Yeah, because that's a weird creature.
Yeah. It would really just shatter your entire knowledge of the real world.
Yeah.
Which is very scary.
So, like...
But I did like in this scene... Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I did like, just not to harp on the scene too much, but I did like how they kind of show the full process of the scaring through the John Krasinski character. Because when Mike sneaks into the bedroom, we kind of get like the start to finish scare.
Yeah.
Because even the parents come in and he's got to hide in the, like, pretend to be a jacket or something. And he does, like, he, like, scratches the bedpost to, like, kind of start the scariness for the kid.
It is more, yeah, more in-depth than the last one. There's an art to it, I suppose.
Yeah, and in this world, the scarers, well, I mean, they kind of maybe established that a little bit in the other one, but to the kids, these scarers are kind of like sports heroes.
Yeah, they have cards, they have bleh.
Mm. Scare cards.
Also, I guess there's only two universities, because there's Monsters University and then Fear Tech, but I guess you had to have both of those, I guess. It's a clever one-liner, I guess.
The Fear Tech. And then they also talk about like the other... I thought they mentioned like other corporations too. Other scaring corporations.
They do. They were dumb. I was going to write them down, but I didn't think any of them were worth it.
I know. Yeah, me too. Fuck. Doesn't matter. But yeah, Fear Tech, they had to put it in there just because it comes into play a little bit later. Kind of kicks off a lot of the plot here.
Yeah. So, fast forward. Mike Wazowski made it to college. To MU.
Boom. Boom.
And
place he wanted to go.
And it's pretty much just like Harvard, I feel like, is what they designed after. It looked like that anyway.
Yeah, definitely designed after Harvard. I think they also mentioned a lot of it was based on... Because those Pixar studios are in California. So
is it based off like UCLA or whatever tech there is there.
Yeah, I'm missing it here. I had it before.
Either way.
Stanford. That's
Stanford.
Yeah, there you go.
Ugh. All right.
But I mostly got Harvard vibes. Mostly because I've never been to Stanford.
Yeah, I haven't been to Stanford either. Go Cardinal.
Cardinal.
Yes, one. Then they get roommates, and he's roommate with Steve Buscemi.
Mm-hmm. Randall.
Randall. You get to see him as a nerd.
Yeah, he's a nerd. I guess I kind of like them having those characters in there. I guess the best part of it is just the joke of Randall wearing the glasses, and then Mike tells him to take off the glasses, and that's why Randall's so squinty and looks all suspicious all the time.
Oh, yeah. I guess they are establishing things. It is a prequel.
Yeah, exactly. They did a few things throughout that kind of like retroactively established things in the Monsters, Inc., which I guess is a good use of a prequel. What else are you going to do about it?
And then they made up a bunch of analogs to college, like everything revolved around scaring. And then you have to you go to scarer classes where you see a monster that has Alfred Molina's eyebrows rendered onto him.
Yeah, the professor's Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like the idea of doing like a college movie. You know, and this is the only real property that Pixar has where they could have inserted that that style of movie into.
Yeah.
The only thing I kind of wish they did, maybe they just did like a very tropey college movie, but just with the monsters instead.
Like
they go on like pretty much Animal House.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, I feel like they were
the classic.
They wanted to, I feel like, a little bit.
They wanted to, and then they probably smartly realized that this movie's for kids. They wouldn't get those references.
It bugged me a little bit because the sorority and fraternity names have Greek letters, but then also monster-ish Greek-sounding letters, like Roar Omega Roar and Python Nu Kappa and Uzma Kappa. And I feel like it was pretty weak. I mean, I feel like they could have, you know.
You didn't like that?
Well, I don't think there's any Greek monsters.
Yeah. Wait, you mean like monsters from Greece?
I mean, is there an analog to Greece in the monster world? I don't know. Like, maybe the next thing will be Monsters Earth or Monsters Universe.
Monsters Universe? Yeah, that's a good question, I guess. So you didn't like any of the names there?
I thought they were clever, but I thought that they just, I don't know, I feel like they threw the Greek letters in there because they,
I mean, you have to.
I feel like they was a little bit lazy. Could have been Uzma Krappa, you know? Like, just...
Yeah, I didn't mind them. I liked what was the hiss one?
I forget which one that was, but yeah, they were like, it was like the goth sorority, which never exists.
Yeah, it was very antithetical to the entire concept of Greek life. But yeah, I kind of liked them.
And I want to also say that I've never seen a fraternity that's like a bunch of nerd dudes like this. Like, I know it's like a trope in movies, but I don't think that exists in reality.
Well, that brings up a great point of discussion here. We both went to college together.
We did.
Probably talked about it before. And we lived together briefly, and we lived across from a frat house briefly.
Yeah.
And wasn't that, I thought that frat was kind of like the nerdy frat, right?
that house is like the halfway house for fraternities.
What, do you remember which one it was? I can't remember.
I don't. But yeah.
Well, I thought they were kind of like the mathlete house, though.
They were like the nerdier one, but there's not like a true nerd one. There was just like, there's bros and there's like loser bros, and they were the loser bros, but that still ranked them above nerds, I feel like.
Yeah, because they were the ones that were not on campus, actually.
Yeah. No one wanted them that much. Yeah.
Yeah, they want them at arm's length. But that brings up a question here, because in the Monsters University, the nerd house, Usma Kappa, is on campus with the other frats, but it's apparently a house of one of the members because his mom lives there too.
Yeah, that was really strange. I don't think that works. No.
Although I did love Squishy.
Squishy was good.
Squishy was pretty funny, and he lives there. It's his mom's house. But, like, that's not in this world. It's not how that works.
There's not, I was going to say what happened up to this point, but there's not a lot. They go to scare class. They are dumb, and they get kicked out of the scare degree program. And then there's, like, a last-ditch effort to get back in is some weird contest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right when Mike comes and walks on campus, there's all the different groups trying to, you know, get new members, and then one of them is the Scare Games, which is, I guess, an inter-frat and sorority competition here. And then he kind of, you know, puts it aside and doesn't think about it until he gets kicked out of the scaring program. But what? It's so stupid, because Mike and Sully meet, and then they kind of immediately become rivals because Mike's coming at scaring from
academic yeah.
perspective. Sully is, I guess, a legacy because his dad was a big scarer, so he's the jock, not really putting in the effort, just flying by his natural talents. And they're competing, they're going back and forth. Sully gets into the cool frat that Mike wants to get into, and he wants to prove that he can scare as good as anybody. And so they're going back and forth, and then they get into a fight, like the scare off, I guess. And then they knock over a canister of screams, which is very precariously placed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have the hall with all the cans, I guess, which are all statues, but then one is the actual canister of screams, which is the record for the most screams or something.
It was like, it wasn't clearly, I mean, they probably said it, but like, it was like first screams of, I don't know, it was, Helen Mirren is like the headmaster, and yeah. She's like the scariest being on earth.
Yeah, she's kind of like a bug mixed with a bat.
And
she's like,
that was her record tube.
Yeah, that's her record scare, and she just has it sitting on a pedestal that Sully knocks over, and it gets them both kicked out of this program. I will say, all the character designs, like, most of them are not actually scary, obviously, because it's a kid's movie. The Helen Mirren, Dean Abigail Hardscrabble. It's like the only legitimately scary monster in this.
She's
entire franchise.
Terrifying, yeah.
I think just the centipede body really gives me the creeps.
And she sells it really well. Like, she's also a good voice actor.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's great. Very, no guff.
Let's see.
Like we were saying, we get that kind of manufactured conflict where they knock over the scare canister, get kicked out, and then to prove themselves, they have to win these games. And that's kind of when the whole plot gets kicked off and when it kind of gets interesting.
Exactly.
Because that, like I'll say, we were, you know, coming into the movie, I don't think either one of us was really excited to watch this movie. To be honest, I thought it would be a lot worse than it was.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of boring.
It is. It moves really slow. And there's a bunch of like fake outs that you think it's gonna end, but it doesn't.
Yeah, like
I
couldn't really pinpoint exactly what was the problem with it. But I found myself just very disinterested the entire time. Pretty much until they start doing the scare games. Which is, I don't know, the only part that I was like, ooh, this is fun.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Well, the scare games is all the monster fraternities and sororities do a bunch of challenges. And whoever wins gets a trophy. And the stakes are high because Mike and Sully decide they're going to join through the only circumstance that will get them back into the Scare Degree program, because they mm-hmm. make a bet with Hardscrabble, love that name, that if they win, they'll get back in the program. If they lose, they'll be kicked out of college. So they join the loser frat, and then they join the games.
But see, then it gets real. Yeah, then it gets real. It seems like very extreme circumstances. Or it's like, I don't know, that's not grounds for expulsion.
No, it's not.
The whole Scarers program, though, how it's set up, they have to do the normal classes, but then at the end of, I guess, the first semester, it's kind of a pass-fail if they don't actually scare the training program. They don't pass the training program. They get cut.
Yeah, which is...
remind me a little bit of a study in architecture.
Oh, did it?
I don't know if you got any flashbacks here.
And mind you, a pin-up?
Yeah, exactly. Both studied architecture. And at the end of 2 years, you had to pin up all your work. And then they tell you whether or not you can stay or you can go. So this whole movie was giving me PTSD, is what I'm saying.
I mean, I was, not to divulge too much information, but I was on the waiting list. I didn't get in right away, which is not terrific.
yeah, I didn't get in at all.
I kind of forgot that when I was saying my thing, because yours is much worse.
Yeah, I kind of didn't want to do it at that point, so it was almost a relief to have the decision kind of made for me. But maybe that's revisionist history I'm doing to make it not feel as bad that I failed.
Well, no, I see what you mean. I think I was at that time also building a little bit of resentment for the type of program it was. But I mean, I also still loved it and stuff. But obviously, I'm not doing anything with that degree now. So, you know, who knows if it was worth it or not.
But hey, we wouldn't have met each other and we wouldn't have started this amazing project.
That's true. Yeah.
So we can thank the University of Florida Architecture Program for this.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
I can go walk over there now and take a dump on the steps or something.
Yeah, also stop calling me. I'm not going to give you any more money.
Yeah, god damn it.
You goddamn vultures. Leave me alone.
Well, luckily there was no academic work after this point, which is great. It was all it was all scare games. Audrey Plaza and someone else. And I forget who the guy was.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if the other guy was anyone important.
Also, underutilized Bobby Moynihan. He was in it for like a second.
A lot of underutilized, like you're saying. Aubrey Plaza was like one of the announcers of the scare games. Bobby Moynihan, yeah, he was kind of a dumb sidekick of the Roar, Omega Roar fraternity, which was kind of the big
the jocks.
Frat on campus.
Yeah.
Would you say Big John's?
I said jocks, not Big John.
led by, what's his name? Nathan Fillion. He was the president.
Yeah. which he did well. Not
yeah, he was cool.
He actually got some like some lines, which is great.
Yeah, he was probably serviced well enough. Bobby Moynihan underserved.
Yeah,
Aubrey Plaza underserved. As you said, John Krasinski underserved. Bonnie Hunt was the second grade teacher in like the first 2 minutes.
Like, why get after that? Why get big name people for the like for those positions? Like, just get like I don't know, someone else. I don't want to say a no name person because that's not very nice, but get someone like me, like some fucking schmuck. Just let me do it.
Yeah, and at one point in Scare Games, there's a referee, and apparently he was voiced by Bill Hader.
Yeah. I saw that too, and he had one line. He was like, eh, or something. He like didn't say anything.
I don't think he said a word. So I wonder if that was like maybe that actor just wants his name on a Pixar movie.
Bill Hader.
They were like buddies.
He's like great with voices. I don't know why you wouldn't just give him more to do.
Well, I think he's in Inside Out, right? So he at least came back. Bill Hader, I mean.
Well, good. Maybe he just wanted his hat in the, or his hat, his name in the hat for like the next
he
one.
Just, his... he just wanted a hat name.
He wants a hat name. Who doesn't?
But yeah, you're saying Charlie Day, he's got a, maybe not enough love, because we just love Charlie Day, but he was one of the Uzma Kappa guys, along with Sean Hayes and Dave Foley, were the conjoined Terry and Terry Perry peoples.
Yeah.
So a lot of good names in this. And Julia Sweeney is the Squishy's mom.
Yeah.
He caught that one.
Yeah, I did. I mean,
oh, okay.
She had lines too, which is great.
Squishy voiced by Peter Son? Son? He's a Pixar guy.
Which is good. So
there you go. Yeah, keep it in house. Actually, yeah, I really like it. I think Squishy was my favorite character.
Underutilized too, because he was like so. He was great, but
probably enough. Too much, okay. Squishy might be goes a long way.
So, I mean the Scare Games was entertaining, but I feel like it was just because it was like action, and then basically it just defined the entire like arcs, the character arcs of the movie, where they realized that you can't just walk over people. They're losers, that they're worth something, or some stupid moral like that. And then if you work really hard together, you'll do great.
Yeah, because they start basically with Bill Crystal and John Goodman both trying to prove themselves individually. Then they realize they're not going to win unless they're a whole team. So they kind of start to come together and train and become friends. In, I mean, as organic a way as you could want, probably.
Yeah. Oh, and then they get the monster version of Tarred and Feathered, which is making them cute, like throwing paint and then sparkles on them.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's the problem with this movie. I think a lot of the notes are, you kind of see coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Because they're in these Scare Games, and they're, like, obviously the loser fraternity the entire time. But to everyone's surprise, they keep winning each individual task, each game, because it's, like, five or six different things you got to do there. And when they get to, what, the top three or top four, all the frats that are competing have a party, so they invite Uzma Kappa. And then everyone, when they get to the party, everyone's like, whoa, these guys are awesome. And they're having a great time. And then it's like, obviously just a setup to embarrass them. Cause the whole movie is like, no one's going to accept these people cause they look the way they do. Cause they don't look scary. So like no one's going to really have a big change of heart just cause they won a couple games. It's still the fundamental problem of this, this world is that some monsters look scary, some don't. Which, honestly, they don't really ever resolve.
No.
So I don't know, like, what the message is there.
Well, at the end of the movie, I kind of forgot this. In Monsters, Inc., Mike is just a coach to Sully. I forgot that happened. He doesn't, like, does he do scaring himself in that movie? Like, I feel like he was always, like, the file guy.
No, yeah, he's the kind of the brains of the duo.
Yeah.
Whereas Sully is the actual one doing scaring. So that's the thing with the movie. Like, the whole time we're following Mike Wazowski's character as trying to prove that he can be as good a scare as anyone else through hard work and dedication.
But and then it doesn't pay off.
It doesn't pay off at all. Because he's just not scary physically. And I mean, like, I guess it's weird because it's like, I don't know what the real story is there or what the moral is there for the kids. But they're not wrong. I mean, the character design is pretty, you know, adorable compared to some of the other guys.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what fell flat a little bit in this movie.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really just put my finger on it, but maybe it's just a little connection, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little predictable, maybe not as satisfying an arc. Is that what you thought?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's see. I don't know. The
one thing I will say.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I like to see both sides of it. Like to see the negative, the positive in all these movies. I think the difficult task of a prequel like this, coming off Monsters, Inc., the Sully and Mike characters are like such good friends that you're coming into the prequel and then you're having them be enemies off the bat. And then you have to build a believable relationship where they could be roommates and best friends in the next movie. And I think, yeah. I mean, I feel like they get there because, you know, you build friendships through shared hardships. And they had to come together in these scare games, even though they hated each other. And then through that, they became friends. Much like you and I became friends because we both had to deal with the hardships of architecture school.
Yes, all-nighters and whatnot.
Yeah, losing our minds, staying up all night. I have no idea what we're doing.
Cutting parts of our fingers off.
You know. Yeah, on purpose or on accident.
You know, when you're tired, it doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, yeah. So I'll give them props for that. I don't know if you would concur.
I mean, they accomplished what they had to. I'll give them that.
I mean, yeah, it's not like, I don't know if that makes for a good movie in itself, but it, I guess, accomplished that goal. So there's, so you could throw some positives.
So
the actual plot, where are we?
I don't know. I'd say we're at like the final scare game where they have to go to the scare simulator.
Well, I feel like the rest of the scare simulator is the big one.
Yeah.
Did you like any of the other scare games? What'd they do? The first one was get through the pink spiky things.
Yeah, they're like sea urchins.
Yeah, the sea urchins, which I guess was to teach them to be. Oh, because, yeah, that was to teach them to avoid the kids' toys. Because throughout this movie, they kind of harp back on the idea that humans are toxic.
Yeah.
Which, again, doesn't really land because we know from the original Monsters, Inc. that kids are not toxic.
And then the second one is get your flag in the library without getting caught. Which
was kind of weird, too.
Because it's like, don't get caught by... Don't make enough noise because you'll be noticed. But then they kind of fly in the face of that and just use distraction instead of being like covert.
Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, just get just like a game of tag.
Yeah.
And then it was then at that point, after they won that, that's when they got humiliated. So they really dedicated themselves to win. And then there was the maze with the teens or the babies.
Yeah.
And then then there was the hide and seek with Bill Hader as the ref.
Yes, which you didn't really. I guess that's like if someone opens a door, so you just hide. But also, yeah. It was brushed over pretty quick because it was like the montage.
Yeah, the good old montage. I think that's my favorite part. I love a good montage. Although, as the ref, he's got like 12 eyes. He pretty much blatantly missed Sully, which was just, he was pretending to be a rug. I was like, come on. That's pretty obviously.
Yeah.
A giant monster flying on the ground.
It's enormous. Yeah. I don't know. And the other person was like hanging in the chimney. Like, I don't know. That was weird. But it had to work.
It had to work. And then we get to the end. The two teams left, Roar, Omega Roar, and Uzma Kappa, just doing the classic scare off. Well, not scare off, I guess. But
sort of they like both
go into little rooms. The simulator, yeah, that's what you call it.
Simulator.
And at this point, Sully, he knows Mike's not scary, because he's not. Sorry, Mike. So what does he do? He cheats.
Well, what else would you do? What else would you do? You gotta cheat.
That's the thing, like, they win the games because Mike, like, fucks with the settings there. Which, why would they have the settings so easily fuckable with?
I don't know.
Why would they be so easily fuckable? How did no one notice he fucked with them?
It
must be unfuckable. Unfuckwithable, I guess. Did that catch you by surprise? Did you see that one coming?
It saw it coming. I mean, everything, because they won the game in like a second. Like, they didn't like pay any mind to it in the movie. So I just figured like, I thought that was the end of the movie. I'm like, okay, great. Because then everything's resolved. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, Mike's actually scary. Great. Okay, great. The end. But no, it wasn't. No. Then they won. He realized it. Got so mad. And was like, I gotta prove that I'm scary. So then he goes to the door testing lab and goes in a real door.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds himself in a sticky situation.
The only thing out of that, the final scare game, the only legitimate laugh, I think, in the entire movie, as they're going through individually and trying to scare the like robot kid, Squishy scare was the best because he just was standing there like perfectly still.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, you mean
kind of just doing like a zonked face?
You didn't like Randall turning into a bunch of hearts and going, "Ew, no, hearts."
Lame. No, Squishy is the only funny one.
You really like Squishy.
I'm a big Squishy fan. Get on board.
It's all right, man.
Did you like his mom listening to heavy metal Mastodon?
I thought that was cool. But then at the end, I didn't like, because then at the end, Bill Murray's brother, I can't believe I didn't know that.
Little Murray
is in the fraternity and they're staying at the fraternity house, which is actually his mom's house, or is Squishy's mom's house. And at the end, that character, Don's character, starts banging Squishy's mom, which is super weird and unnecessary because kids aren't going to get that. I don't know why they added that.
Yeah. Yeah, although I didn't mind Squishy's reaction because, like, little Murray's, like, kissing on his mom and his butt's, like, pressing into Squishy's face. And Squishy's just, like,
Yeah.
This sucks.
Do not like.
My life is awful. But like you were saying, the end of the scare games kind of seems like the climax of the movie and the end of the movie. And as we always mention, we usually love the brisk brevity of a Pixar movie. But it was at this point where I was actually like, fuck, I wish the movie would end already.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was the end. And then I checked the time and I was like, 30 more minutes? What the fuck?
Yeah, here's for the second movie.
Yeah, and then he goes into the real world, which again would be probably a little more tense if we didn't already know that the kids weren't actually like toxic to the monsters. That would add like a little bit of extra oomph there. But I don't know. Did you like this kind of end climax? Did you think it was unnecessary?
I thought it was. I thought they could have made the scare games the end of it. They could have said, like, through his planning, he scared them the proper way and then ended it there, like, oh, smarts actually is important. But instead, they don't do that. And then they have to demonstrate that point. Because then it turns out they're at a summer camp and none of the kids find Mike scary. As no one does, apparently.
Yeah.
And then adults get involved. The cops come. And then Sully comes in. And then they begin to orchestrate a weird, like, haunting-style scare. Which they must be telekinetic or something, because everything keeps moving and no one's there.
Yeah, they really could have ended it at the scare games and then even had the same reveal where Sully's like, oh yeah, I cheated. And then Mike could be like, oh, I guess I'm not that scary, but now we're back in the program, we can still graduate and go to Monsters Universe or Monsters Inc. They could still be buddies.
The moral could have been, accept who you are, you know.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah. Yes. That's definitely important. Sorry, but kids.
Yeah, instead they have that weird haunting scene, which I guess kind of is to demonstrate that Mike can be scary, like a supplemental scary.
Yeah, like indirectly scary.
Because he's kind of coaching Sully through it. But again, like... In real life, if Sully just, like, walked out the door and didn't do anything, that alone is scary enough. But instead, they have to make, like, do a lot of extra stuff here to scare the adults, to power the door, because it was turned off by Helen Mirren on the other side. So they were stuck.
Because she has a weird bone to pick with him still.
Yeah, I don't know what's with her as a bee focusing on these two kids. There's kids. Let them
that's
be.
Like, I feel like that's true, though, because I feel like I've had professors that are like that, that just choose people to hate.
That's true. As I was watching this movie, I did play through a couple of scenarios I had with professors who were real assholes for no reason.
There's a particular professor that... called me by the wrong name, or he was notorious for calling people he didn't like by the incorrect name just to, like, get under their skin.
That's such a fucker move.
Yeah,
that's like a pickup artist kind of move, like classic negging.
Oh yeah, maybe he was trying to neg me, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he had a thing for you never know.
Well, I also had a mustache one time because we were going to Bonnaroo and I wanted to be a douchebag, and he's like, why do you have that mustache? He pretty much just said, he negged me again.
Classic negging.
And I told him, like, something that I thought would... I told him, oh, because I want to, like, do it in honor of my dad. Or something to do with my dad in memoriam or something like that. To make it seem like that my dad was, like, in trouble and that he should feel bad. But he didn't care.
What a real dick.
Yeah.
Well, nuts to him. Look where we are now.
Yep.
We're unneggable.
I hope I see him one day. We'll see what happens. We'll see who gets negged.
Oh, man. Well, there's another problem I have with the end of the movie here. So, Mike and Scully, they successfully pull off this incredible scare where they scare, like, a group of adult police officers. They scare them enough to power the door to, I guess, transfer across dimensions or whatever the hell this connection is here.
Yeah.
To get them back into the monster world and fill up like a million different scare canisters, which would, I guess, easily be like the greatest scare ever recorded, if it was recorded. And then I thought that in doing that, they were going to both be like automatically picked up by Monsters, Inc. as like two superstars, which I think would be a proper ending.
I kind of thought that was going to happen too.
Yeah, because like the whatever, like the CDC group comes in and like clears the area, and your favorite character, Roz.
Hello.
She makes her appearance and like kind of ushers them away, and then they're telling Uzma Kappa that they're expelled. I thought that was all just a ruse, but no, they're actually just expelled.
Yeah. Again, bad messaging. Just telling kids, well, you get expelled, that sucks, you gotta go.
Yeah, and I mean, they only then get a job at Monsters, Inc. by starting in the mailroom.
And our new segment, the Ratzenberger Report, starts now. John Ratzenberger, again, just totally left out of the movie. He reprises his role as the abominable snowman guy, or Mr. Snowman.
Mr. Snowman, yeah.
In the mailroom, and then he has like a line, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Pixar progresses through, they're slowly like weaning him off.
Yeah, but which is a sin,
an absolute sin. In reality, he should be a star player.
Yeah. My conclusion,
yeah,
anemic of Ratzenberger. That's when I'm rating this movie.
Oh, okay, good. We're going to give a rating. I like
yes.
Because that was that a post? No, that wasn't a post-credit scene, was it?
No, but they had.
No, it was.
They had one.
They did have a post-credit scene, which was worthless. But it basically was right before credits, so. Basically not even in the real movie. Yeah, it's a real sin.
And then they work their way up through the chain, blah, blah, blah. Which I feel like is a weird, like, corporate way of being like, yeah, start at the bottom, work your way up, asshole.
Yeah, although, again, like, if... I mean, I guess this dean kind of locked the room off so no one was aware of this epic scream power that they generated here. But if word had spread of that, they would be like prize commodities.
Yeah.
They really should have unionized.
They should have. Fight the power.
Yeah, this movie's too corporate.
So overall, how'd you like it as a whole piece?
Yeah, again, it's just kind of like, whatever. I didn't hate it as much, I guess, as I thought I would, so it surpassed expectations, so that's good. But I mean, definitely not as good as the first one. Although, I mean, again, maybe that's playing a little bit into nostalgia. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, It was tough to get through. It had its moments, though.
Yeah. Well, like what? The scare games?
Scare games. If it was just the scare games, like Monsters, Inc., the scare games, or Monsters, U, the scare game, like, I feel like that would have been good.
Yeah. But
That's about it. A couple laughs, I think, good voice talent, but...
Yeah, maybe if they kind of shave off the beginning and the end a little bit and get a little deeper into the college life. They should have just remade Animal House.
I would watch it.
Call it Monster's House.
Monster's House.
There you go.
I did appreciate also the music, which was composed by Randy Newman, but no Randy Newman-y songs. It was all very drumline-y sounding. Yeah, and that I appreciate.
I was surprised to see it was a Randy Newman soundtrack because he didn't put his stamp on it. Very subdued Randy Newman performance.
Yeah. They also featured the Blue Devils, the drumline core, which, being a drumline in high school, I remember watching essentially drumline porn, and it was just the Blue Devils doing marching stuff. They're really good. It brought back a lot of good memories.
Now, that's not Duke University. They're just also named the Blue Devils?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at on their wiki. It's not a university affiliation.
It's not. It's just, I don't know why they named them that. There's another group too, I forget what they're called, but they're similar in stature. It's just a weird, I didn't realize they were just national professional marching corps, but I guess there are.
Did you ever watch Drumline?
I did. I love that movie.
Was that all you did for practice of Drumline? You just watched Drumline?
No. I don't think I actually watched it until I was out of Drumline. And then I was like, that was nothing like my experience because they was... Because I don't want to be crude, but... We didn't have as much urban settings as they did, so our drumline wasn't as good or cool or dancey or fun. So we had a lame, normal, white person drumline.
What did you play in drumline?
I play the cymbals, and then section leader, and then I played the bass drum for the Thanksgiving Day Parade in Hollywood when we marched. Because a normal Hollywood, bass player.
Hollywood, Florida?
California. The real
one. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the guy was sick or something and couldn't come out. So I got to take his place.
Wow. What a great memory.
Yeah, it was great.
Where were you? On Rodeo Drive or whatever? Fuck.
I don't know. It was the first and last time I ever went to California was that. I don't know. It was look up the Hollywood Thanksgiving Day Parade, and that's what I was in.
I will definitely do that.
I'm sure there's no video. I'm sure they just didn't video that year, but.
No video evidence, but that's fine. I believe you.
I was 1 year away. From because they did Macy's every 2 years, I was 1 year away from making Macy's.
I was so pissed.
Or every 3 years, maybe four. I don't know, but I was 1 year away from making the Macy's Day Parade, and I was super jealous of everyone who got to go.
Yeah.
Before I joined band, yeah.
That's the big leagues.
It is. That's the biggest league.
Well, we did it. And I think next time, if we can get our act together, we're going to try and bring you a timely podcast. You going to try and see Coco this weekend?
Yeah, I'll try. I have some employment issues that might deter me from it this weekend, but I could probably work around that. We'll see what happens.
Okay. If not, we'll have some contingency plan.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go back to the first shorts.
We do shorts. If we can find someone to do, yeah, that'd be great. Or yeah, our next feature is Inside Out. So also, don't forget that.
Oh, maybe we can get a very special guest on.
Maybe.
Ooh. So, wow, we really don't know what's going to happen next time.
Yeah, it's all a mystery.
But I'm sure it'll be another classic just like this one.
Naturally.
Well, any parting thoughts? Stray observations?
Nothing. Just keep hashtag me too. You know, keep going with that. Power to you.
There you go.
I know. Yeah. It's the world we live in now. Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll bookend that. And again, this is part of the reason we're doing this. Little reprise from the awful, awful world we live in today. But tune in next time.
It'll be brighter next time, I promise.
Yeah, maybe. Fuck, I don't even know.
Oh, yeah.
Until then, bye-bye.
Bye. I'm trying to be like fucking Elton John over here.